today. Today, as we end on this series, God's Design Series, Sermon Number 5, and we will end today on this series, and next week I'll be starting a brand new Christmas series. And so we're getting right into the Christmas season, and it will be here before you know it. And so let's look here as we end out today on God's design. The title of my message today is this, The Hope of Glory. The Hope of Glory. And we're going to look at this a little bit. If you would turn with me, we're studying now the book of Colossians. So if you'll go with me to Colossians, the first chapter beginning with the 27th verse, Colossians 1 and 27. And my prayer is that you've read the book of Colossians. It's not a big book to read, but it is something that we have been studying for the last few weeks. And so we want to look at this a little bit today as time will permit in Colossians 1 and 27. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Let's read that again. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. I want us to see this a little bit today, where that Paul becomes a mystery writer unto us. There is a mystery about this that I want us to look at today, the mystery of the times of the Gentiles. In Romans 11 and 25, the Apostle Paul writes and says, "For I do not desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own opinion, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in." I want you to know today that the mystery of the age of grace in Romans 16 and 25, "Now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery kept a secret since the world began." The mystery even of the coming of the rapture. So there is a mystery of the age of grace. There's a mystery of the coming of the rapture that will take place in 1 Corinthians 15 and 51. "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed." Now, I want us to look at this a little bit of the word mystery. In other words, there's something that God is clearly designed. It's something that God has clearly orchestrated to let us know that the mystery that He is bringing among us is that of Jesus Christ, and that Christ be in you the hope of glory. In other words, we glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. We magnify our Savior for who He is and for what He has done. And we know that over 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ, born of a virgin, conceived by the Holy Spirit, was born to die. And we know that He went upon the cross, and all sin, all shame was placed on the cross so that you and I may have life and have it more abundantly, that we have come to a saving grace through Jesus Christ. And yet it becomes a mystery unto us. because we know that God loved us, but how can we measure His love? How can we measure His grace? How can we measure? There are times that it becomes a mystery unto you and I, because eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, nor has it entered in the heart of man what God has in store for those that love Him, that is called according to His purpose. And it becomes a mystery unto us, for it is a mystery that you and I have accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. By faith, we believe that we are saved, and to know that God has brought His Son unto us, that is the hope of glory in our hearts and in our lives today. The greatest mystery of all is a mystery that was even hidden from the Old Testament saints. We see in Colossians 1 and 26, the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to His saints, to be revealed unto us and unto the Lord Jesus Christ. The mystery of Christ within believers becomes the hope of glory. We see this also in Colossians 1 and 27. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of His mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. In other words, He reveals the mystery unto us. He reveals all of His grace and mercy unto you and I. The three choices of hope, I want you to look at that with me today. The three choices. My first point today is the false hope. In 1 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul writes in the 19th verse, 1 Corinthians 15 and 19, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are all men of the most pitiful. False hope ultimately makes one miserable. And I want you to know today, when we have false hope, then that means we don't have any hope at all. Some people will hope in money. Some people will hope in fame. Some people will hope in fortune. But yet the Bible clearly lets me know in Luke 18 and 23, but when He heard this, He became very sorrowful, for He was very rich. You may say today, Pastor, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say that the rich young ruler came to Jesus, but would not give his heart to Jesus because he had so much wealth. He thought, well, I'll let this be another time, but not today. Many are like him. Many today making money their God, and their God becomes great in their eyes because they're not trusting in Jesus Christ. They're trusting in themselves and what they can do and how they can do it, when they can do it, where they can do it. But I want you to know, we cannot go without the Lord Jesus Christ in the center of our hearts and life. We may try to fool ourselves, we may fool others around us, but we need Jesus 24/7, 365 days out of a year. We need Him in our hearts and life more than ever before. Listen, many are like the rich ruler and the rich man that he was, the ruler that he was, that he had everything at his fingertips. Listen, some people hope in their intellect and their abilities. I don't need God. I don't need Jesus. I can handle this myself. I can do this myself. How many times have we tried to do things on our own and never have Jesus in the equation? We make a big mess out of it when we don't have Jesus in the equation. We make it where, well, Jesus, if I need you, I'll call upon you, but right now I'm doing fine. People are looking. That is a false hope. Because you can't win in your intellect. You can't win into your ability. They believe that education answers all needs. Listen, education is great, but that's not the full answer. That's not the whole answer. It's great to be educated. There's nothing wrong with being educated, but you can't let education be what you want it to be in that you dismiss Jesus Christ in your heart and life, that you need to know that you've got to have Jesus in the center of your life. Listen, some will believe that they can handle any crisis. They don't need God. How many times have you ever met people say, well, I can handle it. I don't need God. I don't need this. I don't need that. But knowing deep down they need Jesus Christ in their heart and life. Listen, some people hope in religious ceremonies and rites. They continue to go on through the motions of going to church and going through the motions of everything and thinking that church is going to save them, that the rituals that they do is going to save them. The only thing that's going to save a man or a woman or a child is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And Jesus is the only way, for He says, I am the only way. I am the truth and the life. No man comes to the Father except by Me. And we must understand through it all that Jesus Christ is our saving grace. Listen, the Bible clearly lets us know that we are to trust Him at all times. Yet there's some people hope in their good works. Listen, your good works is not going to send you to heaven. Your good works to let everybody know how good you are is not going to save you. What's going to save you again is Jesus Christ. Christ is risen, so hope in Him is sure. Hope of glory, Jesus Christ is your saving grace. Not only is there a false hope, but second, there is no hope. Ephesians 2 and 12 says this. The Apostle Paul writes and says that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of the promise, having no hope and without God in the world. It is through Jesus Christ that you have hope of glory. It is in Jesus Christ that you have living hope. You and I have living hope. So we can't just say that we have no hope, because we do, because of Jesus Christ. And because what God the Father has done with Jesus Christ by being born of a virgin, conceived by the Holy Spirit, by coming to this world, being crucified, that you and I may have life and have it more abundantly, that does give us living hope. Listen, to live without Christ is to die without hope. Let me say it again. To live without Christ is to die without hope. That's why we must have Jesus Christ in our hearts and in our lives. Hope is tested at death. Earthly success will be no comfort then. Because when death comes, that is the decision that will be made. Whether we go to heaven, whether we go to hell, there is a decision that's being made, but we've got to make that decision before death comes to our hearts and life. But that's the hope of glory. That is the hope that you and I have, that we can miss a place called hell and we can make heaven our home, and to know that Jesus Christ can save us, not from some sin, not from just a little sin, but to save us from all sin, that we may have life and have it more abundantly. Give God praise in the house today. There is living hope, folks, and we can live through that. Listen, there's a contrast of hope at death. 1 Thessalonians 4 and 13, the Apostle Paul writes and says, but I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who've fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. If you don't have Jesus Christ in your heart and life, you don't have hope. But you have Jesus Christ in your heart, you have living hope. For the Bible clearly lets us know for us not to be ignorant, because God has revealed Himself. God has revealed His Son, Jesus Christ. His Holy Spirit has been revealed unto us. Therefore, we have living hope in Christ Jesus. Listen, believers do not sorrow like the lost. Let me say it again. Believers do not sorrow like the lost. There are some that I have conducted many, many funerals, and I hate to say it, I've conducted more funerals than I have weddings. And at every funeral, I see that those feel lost. They feel undone. They feel empty. But I want you to know today, as believers, you're not empty. As believers, you have hope. You have living hope. And if those go before you that knew Jesus Christ, and if you know Jesus Christ, and when you leave this life, you will see others on the other side. And there's others that are waiting on the other side. Therefore, we have living hope in Christ Jesus. Listen. Unbelievers have no sure hope at death. Unbelievers. There are many funerals that I have, again, that I have preached at, and some that I did not know if they knew Jesus Christ. Can you imagine this? I can't imagine it, but there have been funerals that I have conducted that I really did not know. And folks, I am not going to preach nobody into heaven. I am not going to preach nobody into heaven, because that is a personal relationship that somebody either has with the Lord or doesn't have with the Lord. It's a decision that you and I, all of us including your pastor, has to make that decision before we leave this life. That we've got to make things right and things ready. Should we be called today? Should the Lord return today? We've got to make sure that everything is right. Not only is there false hope, not only is there no hope, but third, there is the hope of glory. The hope of glory. Comfort at death is only for the believers. Unbelievers borrow the Christian comfort. Let me say it again. Unbelievers borrow the Christian comfort. But yet there are some that still have not made that profession of faith. There are still some that have not made the decision accepting Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Listen, if you haven't accepted Jesus Christ into your heart and life, if you've not made that profession of faith, maybe you've heard about it, maybe you've heard the pastor preach about it, maybe you've heard friends talk about it, but if you haven't made that personal request to the Lord and saying, Lord Jesus, I repent of my sins. Come into my heart and life. Lord, save me. The Bible says that if you believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died on the cross, that He arose on the third day, that He's seated with the right hand of the Father, the Bible says, thou shalt be saved. God wants to save us. And He saves us through His Son, Jesus Christ, so that you and I would have the hope of glory, because the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, He is wanting to give unto us more than we've ever could ever imagine, and He's wanting us to take others with us. He doesn't want none of us to perish, the Bible says in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believeth upon Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Listen, there are no promises of hope for those who die in unbelief. Let me say it again. There are no promises of hope for those who die in unbelief. Making those decisions is saying, Lord, I fully surrender to You. You say, well, Pastor, I'm not perfect. I'm not this. I'm not that. No, none of us is perfect. But you know what? We strive not to be Christ. We strive to be like Christ. And we are to live our lives as striving every day to do what Jesus Christ has commanded us to do, what Jesus Christ has called us to do. We are to be servants. We are to be disciples. The word disciple means discipline, that we would discipline our hearts, that we would discipline our minds, that we would discipline ourselves to do what Jesus Christ has asked us to do. Colossians 1:27. To them, God willed to make known what are the riches of the glories of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. You see, God has riches, and He is wanting to enrich your heart. He's wanting to enrich your mind. He's wanting to enrich everything possible in your life, because He doesn't want you to go lacking for anything. Listen, the Bible clearly lets us know, as Jesus says, if I feed the birds in the air, how much more can the Heavenly Father feed you? How much more is the Heavenly Father concerned about you? If I take care of nature and I take care of everything else that's living, how much more can He take care of you? He takes care of you and I much greater than ever before. Why? Because He's a loving God. Why? Because He wants to give unto you. He does not withhold anything. He does not hold restraints from you. He gives everything to you. And that is the God that we serve today, is that He wants you to understand His loving kindness, and He wants you to understand His grace and His mercy every day, because it renews us every day. Listen, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Listen, not hoping for glory. Hope here is the confidence of expectation. The hope. We have hope in Jesus Christ. We have hope in Him. Why? Because He's already answered. He's already moved. He's already said what He said He would do. He's already done what He said He would do. Because that's the glory that you and I receive, because the hope is in Christ Jesus. Our hope is not in man. Our hope is not in our job. Our hope is not in this world. Our hope is not in America. Our hope is not in the government. Our hope is in Jesus Christ, who sustains us and takes care of us and brings us out of the things that we're in, that you and I may have victory on top of victory. Give God praise in the house today. We are reassured because of the hope of glory. Listen, Paul lets us know that he says, I will glory in the cross. He says, there's nothing else that I want to know but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. There's nothing, no good thing in you or in me but Jesus Christ and Him in our hearts and in our lives. Christ in you, the hope of glory. The hope of glory. the hope of glory. Campbell Morgan writes this and says, does it not mean foundationless expectations, but rather confidence in something? Hope here is the confidence, the expectations, the expectation of knowing that God will see you through, that God will sustain you, that God will bring you through what you're dealing with. You may not have achieved what you think you need to achieve. Maybe you have not gotten there where God is wanting you to be there. But guess what? It is the hope of glory that He brings you to where you need to be, not where you want to go, because He has the eyes. He has the motion. He sees all. He sees what's ahead. He knows what lies ahead tomorrow, next week, next year. And therefore, the hope in Him brings us to glory to know that He will sustain us every step of the way. Listen, question today would be, what is the reason for this confidence? Here's the reason that we can have confidence and the hope of glory is, guess what? The resurrection brings living hope. The Bible clearly lets us know if Jesus had not arose on the third day, if He had not come out of that grave, if He had not moved out of that grave, if God the Father had not brought Him out, then none of this today in being in church and us serving God and worshiping God and acknowledging our Lord and Savior, all that would be no good. It would be void completely. But praise be to the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. He arose on the third day. He's seated with the right hand of the Father. And therefore, we've got victory on top of victory. That's living hope, folks. That's the glory of God, that you and I are empowered and we have the victory day by day because of the living hope of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. He's given us the power. He's given us the grace. He's given us the mercy. And therefore, we can live in the hope of glory to know that God will take care of His own. Listen, 1 Peter 1:3 says this. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Peter says it clearly to know that no matter what Peter said, no matter what had happened in the past, when he denied his Lord 3 times, when he said, I don't know Jesus, he realized that the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ had come forth and that the living hope through the resurrection brings victory on top of victory as Christ comes from the grave. Glory is ahead for the sufferers here. We may suffer a little while, but joy comes in the morning. We may deal with some suffering. We may deal with some pains, some aches, some disappointments. We may go through some trials. We may be tested. We may be looked at on every hand with nothing but trouble. But Romans 8:18 says this, the Apostle Paul writes and says, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the, here's our word, the glory which shall be revealed in us. Let me read it again. For I consider that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. No matter what you're going through, no matter what you're dealing with, God is still there. You've heard me say it, and I'll say it again. It does not change your relationship. It doesn't change your relationship. You may have cancer. You may be dealing with something. You may say, well, Pastor, I'm not dealing with it now. But no, but whenever you deal with it, is your relationship going to change? It should not change. It should not change. Why? Your relationship is to stay intact. But what about my family? What about this? What about that? It doesn't matter what's going on in your life. It does not change your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Because this body's going to go through some things. We're going to age. We're going to get older if we live long enough. We're going to deal with some aches and pains. We're going to deal with things. But guess what? The Bible clearly says of this present times are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. In other words, the body can be like the body, but praise be to the Lamb of God. It changes not because God gives us the victory. No matter how old you get, no matter how much you drag, no matter how you go through what you go through, God is going to give you the strength and the power to bring it through. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. With the glory which shall be revealed in us. Listen, in my closing today, I want you to know today, invite the living Christ into your life. Invite the living Christ, not a dead Christ, but a living Christ. He is alive and He is well. And He is moving through this land. And His Holy Spirit is still with us. And the Holy Spirit is still going through this land. And so we need to understand that the living Christ, not a dead Christ, but the living Christ is living, for that gives us the hope of glory in Christ Jesus. Choose, my second is in my closing, is choose the hope of glory. Choose the hope of glory. Listen, God wants you to have all that He is. He's not holding back one bit. He's not holding back for a special occasion. He's not holding back for a special person. He's not holding back because guess what? God has no respect of any person. He wants you to know that He is God and He is your hope. He is living hope in your heart and your life. Stand with me across the building today. God does not want none of us to perish.